Welcome, my name is Tania. Welcome to 12 Elements, Yoga and Wellbeing podcast, Mind the Gap. Bridging the gap between life and your mat.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Mind the Gap podcast. Today I have Joan. And before we get into it, just to give our listeners a little bit of context, Joan and I have actually not met face-to-face today before today. We've met virtually online, communicating with one another. And we were introduced by a couple of mutual friends, one Emily, the co-founder of Yoga Room, and also Kate, who works as a teacher for the Yoga Room. So it is a pleasure and honor to meet you in real time and for you to be here today to share your knowledge and your experience. So Joan, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let me spread a little bit of light then on where do you come from and where were you born?
It all starts in the beginning.
Yes, in the beginning.
I grew up in Philadelphia,
okay,
in America,
mm-hmm.
And long story short, there was about 20 years between there, but I moved to New York to pursue a career in dance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then I stayed in New York for about 7 years,
mm-hmm.
But you know, I used to get seasonal depression,
And
not to mention I was also partying a lot in New York, and I really just needed a change, and I had started doing yoga at Jiva Mukti.
Oh, I loved
you. Yeah, and that was the first time I really had felt a deep connection more to my physical body, and
mm-hmm.
I knew that I needed to change paths. So once again, there's a big gap, but I found my way to Los Angeles and in the rooms with Mati Zirazi and Lisa Walford. And just to give you a little context about them, little did I know that they were world-renowned teachers. I just kind of fumbled into Yoga Works from a recommendation from a body worker.
Wow.
And that's pretty much how this path unfolded. So I've been living in Los Angeles for about 22, 23 years.
Okay.
And recently, after the pandemic, my partner is from Belgium, and he wanted to be closer to his family. And I had been teaching in Europe since 2012, and I've spent a lot of time in Europe. We've spent a lot of time in Europe. So we decided to get an apartment here and live part-time in Europe.
Wow.
Yeah.
So going back then, you said that you were a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up then, were your aspirations dance teachers initially?
No.
In the movement?
I wanted
body?
To go big.
Oh, really? How big?
Well, I loved Philadelphia, and Philadelphia has a really good creative arts performance.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
You know, I used to go into the city a lot as a child and take classes at a lot of dance companies. And then I started going to New York to audition when I was like 16, 17. So I wanted to go to New York. I wanted to be a famous dancer.
Broadway or what kind of dancing?
I did audition for Broadway, but I was more jazz style, contemporary.
Uh-huh.
You know, I did try to sing because the thing is with Broadway, you really have to do the vocal auditions
uh-huh.
as well. And
so
I would get
competitive.
Yeah,
right?
And I would get really nervous when I would have to sing. And in fact, because of that, I actually took some voice lessons.
Uh-huh.
And little did I know that would actually help me years later
with
teaching. Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So do you come from a religious background or a spiritual background? And I love asking this to an American, because all the Belgians are like, we don't have anything to do with religion. But I know in America you do.
Well, let's just say my father was Jewish and my mother was Irish Catholic.
Wow.
And they were very young when they met me, and they were hippies. So they were kind of breaking out of all their constructs. And it was funny because I would have my father's mother take me to the synagogue, and then I would have my mother's mother take me to the church.
Wow.
And they were like, we're agnostic, do whatever you want to do, you know. And so, you know, because they gave me the freedom,
mm-hmm.
And I think because I was exposed, especially to some of the dogma in religion,
mm-hmm.
I just chose to never really follow it. But
mm-hmm.
I observed what it was about and what it
yeah.
offered. And I knew that it was important to have some sense of faith.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was introduced to yoga. And actually, when I started going to India, I really started to get into the philosophy,
yeah.
which is more of a spiritual practice of Buddhism and Hinduism.
Yeah, wow, amazing. And how did you, I mean, I think you roughly mentioned it before, Yoga Works, that was your first initial yoga class, or had you taken a class before then?
Yes, actually, when I was about 20, 21, I took my cousin's class, you know, and this is in the 90s, like 95, when
all the incredible teachers were just...
Well, and also it was really hard to find a yoga class.
Oh, really?
There was no internet. And so it was at the bottom of a bookstore. It was Integral Yoga, where we did a lot of Nadi Shodhana, Shavasana, headstand, shoulder stand, very classic poses.
Wow, okay.
And it was, I found it actually quite boring because I had to be so still and I was so young and I wanted to move my body.
Yeah.
And then a year later, I had a partner who was a Tai Chi instructor, and he would teach yoga in some of his classes. And I liked that. And he told me to go to Jivamukti.
Down, amazing.
Yeah, in the village in New York City. And that's...
Is this David and Shannon?
Yeah.
Did you go to their studio?
I didn't go. I went to their studio.
I'm obsessed with them.
Yeah.
I love them.
But there's a lot of Shakti. And that's what happened. I think I got bit. That's when you can see I got bit by the yoga bug. And I remember that first class, I felt so untangled. And that's when I had a shift.
Was the shift physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, or all of the above?
No, back then, I mean, I was young, and like I said, I was doing a lot of partying, so it was really physical. And I remember in Shavasana, when I got out, it was a strong message that I really needed to take care of my physical body.
Yeah.
What I was doing was not serving me.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of a new path.
Wow, amazing. So I just want to get a little bit into your professional life. Obviously, you are a professional yoga teacher that's been teaching for over 20 years internationally. So would you imagine your younger self that this is the path that you are going to lead into?
No. No. And like I said, you know, I mean, you know, when the world before social media and the internet, you know, it was a much different world. You
Absolutely.
Just didn't really think on that scale. And I had...
It wasn't perceived then as cool or so acceptable either.
And I think a lot of us kind of thought a little bit more narrow-minded. I think the internet really expanded a lot of our perspectives.
For sure.
And so when I became a yoga teacher, I was kind of nearing the end of my dance career. And I was feeling that. And I really had wanted to... move to Santa Monica, California, get a small apartment by the beach, and teach yoga classes and practice yoga. And that's all I wanted.
Sounds good to me. I love that. So your website, School of Yoga Online, is a rich source of information. So your courses that you have in your workshops, can you tell me a little bit more for someone that's perhaps never taken a yoga class before? There's a lot more people now, as you said, mentioned with social media, that are actually taking classes, actually going to more so to websites and doing online and then transitioning from online to a class, which I think is really interesting now because obviously of the COVID situation. So how would you describe your website and the information that you have on your website?
So, yeah, COVID really changed everything. And so I'm a teacher trainer. I've been a teacher trainer since 2009.
Okay.
And my main practices are Ashtanga and Iyengar.
Okay.
And something that I've seen is that, especially the younger generation, there's a bit of a disconnect to the lineages. So it's really important for me as a yoga teacher to pass the lineage down because I do feel in 25 years, maybe the Sanskrit will get dissolved. They're not going to understand Krishnamacharya, how to work with props. So I came up with the School of Yoga, and all the teachers on it have at least 25 years of teaching
experience. I saw the teachers that you had, and I was gasping. I was like, oh, my God, amazing.
And a lot of them are my teachers, so I'm really blessed to have them, you know, as a part of the School of Yoga.
Really good yoga teachers on your website.
Yeah,
really
thank
good.
You. Thank you. And so for the 2 years during the pandemic, you know, we were all stuck at home. So I just started running monthly teacher trainings online, and we filmed everything. And so that's how the online platform of School of Yoga was filmed. And it was really, it's not only my content, but it's all of the teachers that are
part
of the
School
of Yoga.
Yeah, I see that. You introduce other teachers' content there as well, which is fantastic.
And you know, ideally the School of Yoga helps you work towards your 500-hour Yoga Alliance certification.
Right, okay.
But if you just want to continue, and that's something else I see, is that a lot of yoga teachers want to continue
yes,
their studies.
Absolutely.
And it's not so linear, the School of Yoga. It's not just about vinyasa mm-hmm. flow, like understanding how to work with trauma, understanding how to work with yoga props, understanding
yeah,
restorative.
Very informative, your website.
Thank you.
It has a very vast information for beginners
exactly.
and for teachers as well. Yeah, amazing. So you're in Europe now for a few weeks. So you're going to be teaching workshops. I'm trying to remember Austria, Luxembourg, and somewhere else, I don't remember.
Switzerland.
Sorry, Switzerland. So are they all the same workshops or are they different workshops?
They're all different. This weekend I'm teaching in Luxembourg and we're going to go from the ground up.
Okay.
So each workshop, one workshop, we're going to look at the feet and
wow.
what they do.
That's fantastic.
And then we're going to look at the shoulders and
uh-huh.
then we'll look at the spine.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm leading a week-long retreat in Austria, actually at a detox retreat center up
Perfect.
In the mountains with a beautiful lake nearby. And we have one room left.
I was just going to say, are there any spaces left on your workshops?
Yes, for Luxembourg this
weekend. Luxembourg
yes.
this weekend, okay.
Austria, one room. Switzerland's at the end of the month. I
okay.
haven't checked in with Switzerland. It's a smaller room, and I've been there a lot before.
Okay.
So I do recommend if they're interested to sign up sooner than later.
What can they expect on the retreat?
Well, the retreat is, the theme is a summer solstice retreat.
Okay.
Because, I mean, especially in Europe, I mean, the
yeah.
sun stays out till 10. So not only are we going to be doing a vinyasa flow class in the morning and a more workshop-oriented style practice in the afternoon,
okay,
like
great.
A wind down,
uh-huh.
We'll be setting intentions.
Okay,
so
great.
I also lead a lot of setting intention courses and to kind of really help people direct their energy into
mm-hmm.
where their vision is.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Wonderful. Okay. So I will put the information for people, and you can also contact me as well if you'd like to know and pop a place if you haven't already. So what has it been like to meet people in the yoga community in Europe as opposed to obviously where you come from in America? Is there any difference? You
complete
love
difference.
Right? Well, I say this because like I feel like, you know, I'm on an island here being an Australian in Belgium, but there's a massive difference.
Yeah. And Australia, I think, is actually quite similar to America.
Very.
Yeah.
I think all of my teachers that I've had have been American. Maybe some Australian, but majority
yeah.
American, yeah. And my training's American besides
Bikram.
Yeah.
Right. Well, based off of Los Angeles, you know, just because I've been there for so long, Los Angeles is everybody kind of loves you,
mm-hmm.
but then ADD is a really big problem in Los Angeles. So all of a sudden, you know, there's so many teachers to choose from.
Uh-huh.
So you have to really stay consistent in
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles to build community.
Right.
And it's actually quite challenging to keep the community together because there's so much going on all the time.
Uh-huh.
Europe, and I'm kind of generalize here because
yes.
I've taught around Europe, it's a slow build.
Yes.
I find people are much more apprehensive.
Completely.
Like, who are you?
Yes.
But if you, they respect quality.
Yes.
And I think if you're offering something that has good skill to it, they let you in. And I'm finding, and I'm also, my partner is European. Once they let you in for life.
Yes. Yes. That's what my partner fiancé says to me as well. Absolutely. And what I do notice here, particularly in Belgium, like the students here have asked me the most intelligent questions and the most questions that I've ever been asked in my whole teaching life. And I realize that they really want to learn.
Yeah, yeah.
And they take their yoga first intellectually and then physically.
Yeah.
Like they have this different mindset in their approach to yoga, mm-hmm. which at first I was like, oh, this is, you know, this is not how you do yoga. You need to just get on the mat. But being here a little longer now, I understand the way that they think and their philosophy. And I think it helps them deconstruct when they are on the mat to feel comfortable as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And they want to go deep in
mm-hmm.
Europe for sure.
Yes.
Whereas I find, especially in America, it's more about the physical.
Absolutely.
And as a teacher trainer in America, I have to have a lot of showmanship and personality to keep everybody
engaged.
There's
a lot of big personalities.
In America.
In
America.
America's
entertainment. But in Europe, I actually have to really slow down a lot when
yeah.
I teach in Europe. And what I notice in Europe is that they want to get the information first before you give them the next thing.
Yes.
So it's actually a much, listen. They really listen and take it in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a much more relaxed manner.
Yeah. And they remember.
Yeah.
They will quote back to you what you said. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, they want to go deep.
Yeah. Which is amazing. So how has your yoga practice changed over the years, traveling, teaching? How has it changed for you?
Well, obviously, I started, because I was a dancer, it was more physical. And then especially when I was introduced to Ashtanga, I mean, it was very asana-oriented.
It's a very tough physical practice.
Yeah, but you know, the energy you gain from Ashtanga, if you do it without ego, is pretty amazing. But that's the thing. It really, ultimately, it kind of teaches you to be less attached to your physical body, because if you push too much, you get injured. Yeah. And then especially, I'm 50. I just had my 50th birthday.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Yeah. You do not look 50, by the way. I'm not saying that. She really does not look 50.
Wow, amazing. Thank you. And especially after the pandemic, I really had to kind of slow it down.
Yeah.
I love the Iyengar method. And I think these days it has become more about trying to keep my mind quiet. That really, if my mind is quiet at the end of the practice, I've had a good practice.
Yeah. I've noticed that students really appreciate a little bit of meditation more so now because of the pandemic, but specifically yin and sound healing. Like they're kind of switching from just being physical, and even myself during the pandemic, because I'm just like crazy fitness, love my heart, love my strong yoga practices. But during the pandemic, all my body wanted was yin. And that was like, I was like, oh my God, what's going on? And just to drop in and be still, be mindful, be present. It was like a game shifter for me, because my body, that's what my body wanted. So my mind had to catch up to my body, not the other way around.
Totally. And we were all being asked to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the, you know, fast-paced physical asana pushes us.
Yeah.
And we actually had to really go the other way. Yeah. And so me too, I actually really started doing a lot more breath work, meditation, even restoratives.
Do you include this in your retreats as well? A 100%. Little bit of into this, which probably feeds into the intention setting that you implement as well in your trainings.
Yeah, and the retreats have all levels. I mean, I definitely have a community of yoga teachers, but I also have a lot of beginners. And I think I have a wide range of teaching. So in the afternoons, we always add restoratives. I find if you do restoratives during a 6-7 day retreat, people don't get as sore.
Interesting.
And they don't get injured because their nervous system is recuperating.
Resting.
And they're resting.
Yeah. So your teacher training is happening in India this year. You did one previously this year.
Yeah.
So and you're going back.
Well, I'm going. I only can go to India once a year. It's a big haul. So January.
It's a lot to plan.
Yeah. And it's a lot of work taking people to India. Yeah. And so January of this year, I did 150 hours advanced training.
Right. And this was specifically for teachers or those that have been practicing for a long time.
Yeah, that was quite intense. And we did it in Goa, which was great. And then in March of next year, 2024, I'm doing a 200 hour. And this is in Rajasthan, in a retreat center on a lake. It's more remote.
Okay.
But you're really around all these authentic villages. So you really get the authentic vibe of India.
Yeah.
And the 200 hour is more fundamental base.
Okay.
So even if you're a beginner, even if you want to go back and review the foundations, you know, it's suited to for everybody.
Okay, great. And there's spaces left. Yay.
Yeah.
So what other modalities do you practice besides yoga? Because I think people always think that a yoga teacher just practices solely yoga. But I practice a different modalities as well. So I'm sure that you do with your knowledge and history of yoga life.
Well, recently, I feel, you know, I've been doing yoga for so long, and especially like advancing so much in the asana practice. I like that level of physicality. So recently, I started going to the gym, and I started like doing some cardio.
Yeah.
And I prefer to move slower because I love the matching my breath to the movement, but you know, it's just something else that kind of takes me to an edge and also makes me, puts me in that beginner's mind, which I think is so important.
It's super important. Yeah, I'm completely with you on that. I like to do, I've gotten into bar doing online with weights, which has been great because it really helps my chaturanga. it helps me stay more focused, my balancing poses. So I think it's great to have the variety. Bonus question for you, Joan. What words of wisdom do you have to share that has helped you along the way? Specifically, like, you know, people think yoga teacher's life is just all up and up and we have the angels singing and everything is just perfect over time. But obviously we go through struggles, we go through downs, we go through lows. So what would you say that has helped you to move through that?
You know, I think really taking chances mm-hmm. and living your best life. I know that kind of sounds so cliche.
Yeah.
And from running a yoga school and really, you know, teaching a lot of teachers, something that always comes up is fear. People mm-hmm. are afraid to leave their job because of fear,
yeah.
afraid to do this because of fear. And when I look back at my own path, the only way I've got to where I am at now is I've had to walk through a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And I remember somebody asked me once, a therapist, if you couldn't fail, what would you do? And I always have that question in the back of my head when I have decisions. Because
yeah.
I know deeply I'm going to land on my feet.
Yeah.
It's not going to look the way my mind and ego wants it to look, but I know I'll get there.
Yeah.
I just have to trust the process.
It's all about trusting the process yeah. and believing in yourself, of your capabilities. Often we so often forget mm-hmm. just how capable we are.
And also listen to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because your heart's not going to steer you wrong. It's
going
to take you on an adventure.
For sure.
That's what life is about.
Yeah, it is. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Joan, for coming today and sharing your words of wisdom. And I'll definitely put the information so people can contact you if they have any further inquiries with your retreats. So thank you so much. Good luck with your workshops and your time in Europe. Thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.